tremendous services there. Then we went to Shadow Mountain and a lot of great services there, and now they're here. And so this is a tremendous blessing to the preachers. Now, if this was a camp meeting, I probably wouldn't even try to preach. So maybe just exhort a little bit, and because we've already had a great move around this altar. But I will say what's on my heart. I won't try to hold you long. And Genesis, you don't have to stand, but Genesis chapter 12, I've got just a little bit of reading to do. And I desire your prayers. I want to say this. Different ones has asked about Bristow Camp Meeting. We're having Bristow Camp Meeting this year. We bought 15 and a half acres. And it's just one mile and a half or 2 miles right out of Bristow, going toward the old camp, but not on 48. It's right off of 66 Highway, and it backs up to the turnpike. It was just God that moved in our minister's meeting in January. And we were trying to decide what we was going to do. The spirit of unity come in there. The spirit of, just of help came in there. You talking about stress. Bristow Camp Meeting has been a pivotal camp meeting for the wholeness movement. And now it fell on Brother Aaron, myself, and Brother Bill, and Brother Steve Moore, and then all of the brethren. But I said, you know, we're back to square one now. We have no ground. Brother Aaron was he had a real great position, a chairman of no grounds. And I was a secretary of no grounds, and Bill and Steve was board members of no grounds. That's pretty good. And so we threw things out, but we never did want to move it from the Bristow area. And the Lord moved in such a mighty way. And we just signed the papers on 15 and a half acres. And we was able to pay cash for that. We got about 13,000 left. That's not a whole lot when you're looking at what we're looking at. But we're going to have the service at Bristow Church, Douglas's church, their fellowship hall. It'll seat about 800, maybe crowd in 900. We don't know. We're going to have children's church in his church. Our camp is just coming in, taking over their facilities. They were nice enough to let us use their facilities. Matter of fact, when Bristow started, if I talk long enough, I might not have preached. But anyway, when Bristow started, it started at Kellyville Church. Then it went to Chelsea Church, and then we rented grounds all those years. Well, we're right back to square one. We're having it at Bristow Church Fellowship Hall. But we're praying, and we're going to try to get some dozer work, have that thing. Brother Randy Webb's the night speaker, and Brother Bill Prescott is our day speaker. And you wouldn't believe the harmony and the unity. It was just like God just moved in our board meeting even when we picked the speakers. It's just tremendous how the Lord has moved. So Bristow is, by the grace of God, is going to go on. We're going to have an open air meeting. Now, if somebody would just drop a check for $150,000, we'll have the open air tabernacle this year. Praise the Lord. And anyway, but we're going to have it, and we hope to have maybe a drawing, but and the grounds is going to try to be open. Matter of fact, someone said we ought to just try to have a day service maybe there or something, but I don't know how that'll work, but we're going to have Bristow Camp Meeting this year, and by the grace of God and the help of God, we hope to have a tabernacle up for next year if the Lord tarries. So thank you for all your prayers about Bristow Camp Meeting. Praise the Lord. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. And I want to say all the preaching has been tremendous. And I'm telling you, Brother Suits, Brother Parks, and Brother Webb, just tremendous. And then Brother Blue, what he preached today was so tremendous. Genesis 12 and 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. There's some things that we cannot get where we are, and I'm speaking spiritually geographic. You know, you've got to move up a little bit, and that's what this meeting is all about. Genesis 17 and 15, and God said unto Abram, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her, give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? Between the promise and to the possessing of that promise, it took 25 years. And I just, you know, sort of feel like telling somebody you might be there in the between time right now, but just hold on. You can possess your promise. Genesis 22 and 1, the Bible said, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah. Offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place. I want you to notice that, the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Verse 9, the Bible says, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. I don't know about you, but I want to get to the place where the Lord has promised my ministry to go to. Praise God. Amen. And that place is simply called, look here, verse 9, the Bible said, to that place which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar. Amen. I want to talk to us just a little bit, a place called yonder. Praise God. Amen. And I believe God wants our ministry and the ministries that are here to get to that place called yonder. Where he leads, I want to go. Don't you? Amen. I need the help to get me to that place. I want to reach the place that the Lord wants my ministry. Is there anybody here would like to reach that place? Praise God. Through all of the stress, through all of the change, through all of the trials, we've got to reach that place. Praise God. It came to pass after these things, Abraham's greatest trial did not come in his infancy of his walk. Do you hear me? Amen. Trials and tests sometimes do not get any easier. Sometimes they get a little bit rougher. But Jesus said, be of good cheer. Amen. In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome this world. Praise God. Amen. Trials and tests, we will go through them as ministers. Hey, we as a church, we as a movement is on a pursuit and a mission of a place called yonder. Praise God. Amen. It's a place of dynamic blessing. It's a place of great promise. It's a place of great power. It's a place that God wants to put us in great revival. I don't know about you, but I want to get to yonder where we can feel the power and the unction of revival in these last days. Amen. This preacher is in pursuit of a place called yonder. Praise God. Does anybody want to go with God today? I know you do. Amen. You wouldn't be here if you didn't want to. We're not here to just sit and build tabernacles and worship what God has done in the past. I thank God for what God has done in the past, but Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has never changed. We believe there is more for us. How many out there believes there's more for you? There's more revival. There's more souls. There's more things in the ministry. There's more for us today. Praise God. Let me show you some ramifications and results of human actions. Praise God. Amen. That brings these divine actions. Heaven is ready to respond toward actions today. Praise God. Anybody ever read about Demas Sakarian, the founder of the Full Gospel Business Meeting? Now, I know it's probably went worldly and different things. I'm not a member of it or nothing, but the story of how it was found. He was an Arminian. He started the Full Gospel Business Meeting many years ago. They were dairy farmers. Amen. And when he was a little boy in the late 1800s, they had a little boy that back in Arminium that they called the little boy prophet, not him, but he's called the prophet. He would prophesy that the Russians would come down and invade, and then they would be scattered, and they would end up in the U.S. Amen. And all in the different years of the test and the trials that these people were going through, they were looking for a place yonder across the ocean called the United States, and they wanted to get there. Praise God. Amen. They would have service at different farms. They weren't allowed to really have services in church buildings. They'd have it at different farms. And these were Pentecostal people. And they were having service at his dad's farm. And his dad was very skeptical of this little boy prophet that would prophesy in different things. And whosoever farm that they would have the service, the owner would have to kill his best calf, amen, and then would roast it for a meal. So Demas's dad, who was skeptic, so he took a calf that was a one-eyed calf, killed it, cut the head of that calf off, put it in a tow sack. It was a cull, and that's what they had for dinner. But before the meal, the little boy prophet was praying, and the Holy Ghost come on him, and he got to speaking in tongues, and he shouted down to Demas Sakarian's dad's little barn, and he shouted, and he picked up the tow sack, amen, and pulled out, amen, that calf that was a cool calf, and that made his dad a believer that God was real. Praise God, amen. So they was having problems and different trials and the setbacks in Arminium and the persecution. And they finally got to the United States, and they got over to the on the East Coast, but they really felt like they was going to go to California, and they finally ended up in California, to that place that God told them that they would end up. And I don't know if you know this, but they become very wealthy dairy farmers, and that Demas Sakarian, they supported the first tent revivals that went out throughout America. They finally reached that place. I want to tell somebody, you can reach the place in your ministry if you'll just keep on praying. Praise the Lord. Amen. We always preach about a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, but we forget before you can have a sound from heaven, there's got to be a sound from earth. And there was a sound from earth from the upper room. They were praying and praising. And I believe there's a sound from earth going forth from this minister's conference, and it's going toward heaven. And I believe this morning we heard a sound from heaven. Come on and be encouraged. Come on and pick it up. You can make it. Praise the Lord. We got a little joke. Give me a little water, please. I do need a little water. Praise the Lord. We was preaching at Savannah. Me and Brother Rich and Brother Ryan, we was doing sort of teamwork. And man, my mouth got so dry, I thought I was going to pass out. I said, water, and they never let me forget it. Lift your hands and praise the Lord while I take a drink. Woo! Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So moved was God by the response of Abraham. So moved was God by the obedience of Abraham. The Bible says in verse 14 of 22, and Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. And it is said to this day in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. So moved by Abraham's courage, conviction, and faith, God said, I'm fixing to show you a name that has not been known to humanity before. Amen. I want you to know, Abraham, I'm going to be to you Jehovah Jireh. Praise God. The rest of the world, they don't even know this, but because of what you've done, because of your faithfulness, because of your courage, because of your conviction, because of your faith, I'm going to reveal myself in a special way to you. You can call me now Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord shall provide or will provide. There's a place where you can get, minister friend, that you won't have to worry if your need will be met or if it won't. There's a place that you can get into the revelation of Jehovah Jireh. No matter what you're walking through, no matter what the trial you're going through, no matter what the situation is, the Lord will provide. Praise God. I'm telling you today, I feel like the Lord's been providing encouragement. I feel like the Lord's been providing help. I feel like the Lord's been providing strength. Jehovah Jireh come in this place. Jehovah Jireh walk down these aisles. The provider come by. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm telling you, you can get to a place where you can quit worrying about some finances. I know the charismatics, they've stole that. But every one of us has got needs. We got needs at Bristow. We got needs here at this minister's conference. Every church has needs. But oh, thank God I know him as Jehovah Jireh. I said, thank God I know him as Jehovah Jireh. Praise the Lord. Through the blessings of God, you can get to a place where you don't have to worry about some things. Amen. I'd like to get to the place, amen, where I could just simply put my full trust in the Lord. Praise God. God will take care of you, Pioneer Minister. God will take care of you, missionary. God will take care of you, pastor. God will take care of you, evangelist. God will take care of you, church worker. Jehovah Jireh. Praise the Lord. Don't let this economy motivate you to fear. God will take care of you. He will provide. So moved was God by Abraham's actions. Genesis 22 and 16. Amen. And said, by myself have I sworn. Praise the Lord. Amen. God standing over the balcony of heaven, lifting his hand, saying, Abraham, by myself I have sworn. You know why we don't swear? Because we can't perform everything. We may let somebody down. That's why we affirm. That's why we don't swear. Amen. But God can perform anything. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Amen. And he said, Abraham, have I sworn, saith the Lord, amen, because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thine only son. Verse 17, that in blessing I will bless thee and in multiplying. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I tell you, we like to just say, let's add one. Let's add one. But I like to get to the dimension where it's multiplication, praise God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Somebody say, Lord, multiply my church. Somebody say, Lord, multiply our ministries. Lord, multiply the work of the Lord in our community. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. Is Alamo closed? Why couldn't it be closed today? Praise the Lord. Amen. God said this action has triggered something never before in heaven done. I am about to do something that I've never done before. Not only are you going to know me in the name that has never been known, Jehovah Jireh, I'm fixing to do something that man has never seen and that man can never do. I'm fixing to multiply, praise God, your blessings. Here's what God says. I swear that in blessing, I will bless thee. Do we want a blessed ministry? Do we want a blessed church? Do we want a blessed mission? Praise the Lord. Amen. In this meeting, I'd just like to tell someone you need to go on and do it. Go on and step out in faith and do it. Praise God. God said, I swear I will bless you. But not only bless you, I'm going to multiply you. It's a far cry different. Amen. When you started this meeting, amen, when it's just 100, 200, and you wonder how it's going to take and how it's going to go off, that's what we all wonder. You know, when you step out in your church and you try to do something extra or you try to do something, but look where we're at now. God has multiplied his blessing upon this minister's conference, and God would like to multiply his blessing on your ministry today. I won't hold you much longer, but there's two areas that we need to consider that will make us blessable. Number one, altitude. And number two, attitude. There's a place, but it's on the mountain. You're not going to get the sworn blessing living in the valley all the time, preacher. You're not going to get the sworn blessing, preacher and preacher's wife, being in the mully grubs all the time. You want this blessing, it ain't going to be lowlander spirituality. If you are barely in the church and you can hardly make it yourself, that in transition, and you're not faithful in transition, some of the most unfaithful people is preachers in transition. They're like loose cannons. They can't even get behind a pastor. I don't want a loose cannon coming to my church, Brother Heath. They may blow the thing up. Where you go to church? Well, who's your pastor? Well, you're not going to get to that place. You're not going to get to that place if you don't have somewhere where you can call home. Praise the Lord. The church and the minister that knows the sworn blessing of the Lord will be altitude people. Do you hear me? They're going to be on the mountains of holy consecration. They're going to be on the mountaintop of spiritual victory. They're going to be on the mountaintop spiritually with the Lord. Praise God. We've got to go higher. We got to have an altitude, amen, flight. But to get an altitude flight, we got to have an attitude flight. We got to get our attitude right. We got to get our attitude right with God and the things of God. And we got to get our attitude right with our brothers and sisters. Let me tell you, preachers, something here. Amen. If a church is having revival in your area, don't be jealous over that. Say, thank you, Lord, that they're in revival. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, that they're being blessed. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Moses cried from the lowlands and said, show me thy glory. God responded more so like this. Just don't be a glory seeker, but there's a place by me. Praise God. I said, there is a place by me. I don't know about you, but I want to get to that place. Don't you? We're looking for a place, spiritual place in the Lord. The Bible describes this place, one word, yonder. Place called yonder. Amen. I'll tell you why it's called yonder. It's out there. It's up there. Praise God. I'm going to tell you something. God wants a strong church, a strong pulpit, a strong pew to get to yonder. Genesis 22 and 4. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. I haven't preached this message yet. It's first time. I am going to rework it and preach it at the church. And if I was preaching at the church, I would say 3 days. Saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. But there's more. Now, preaching to you, I'm called to preach first day. It's what the Lord quickened me in the motel room just last night. I'm called to preach. Got that calling, praise God. Feel it in my soul. How many's called to preach here? Hallelujah, thank God. Amen. I'm telling you, when the Lord called me, I'm telling you, the devil's never made me doubt that I was called to preach. Second time I preached in Franklin, Ohio, I wondered about it, and I thought he made a mistake. But that's one thing I knew that the Lord did, call me to preach. Amen. I don't know why, but he did. Amen. So called to preach. Praise the Lord. After that, you pray. Second day, you study. Some go to Bible college. I went to Open Bible College. One semester. You remember that, Brother Ryan? That teacher got up and he said, man, I thought I gotta get to preaching. I'm gonna take up too much time. But he got to talking about Abraham and Lazarus as a parable. And I knew I had him. I said, hey, what do you want? I mean, I just come off the street, started preaching. I mean, man, I'm telling you, when I first got saved, when they talked about Daniel in the lion's den, Moses and all those things, and I never knew none of that. I wasn't raised in church. I can tell you about a lot of other things, but I couldn't tell you about none of that. Man, I thought I had that guy because, man, I got to reading my Bible and all this, and I thought I had him. I knew there was a certain rich man, you know. So I raised my hand and said, I said, that's not true. He said, why ain't it? Well, he didn't say ain't. I said ain't. I said, because Lazarus was a real man. He said, really? I said, yes. Jesus raised him from the dead. Man, I thought I was sharp. About that time, that professor, Brother Tolliver, said, that's not the same Lazarus. And boy, I just sunk. Didn't hardly say anything else in that class. And after that semester, I quit. Woo, praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but I want to be a spiritual traveler tonight. Don't you? Praise God. God has a place yonder for this church, for this minister's conference. And when we get there, so second day, so your Bible college, you're all of this. You know, you've studied, you prayed. You told your pastor, man, I mean, I want to go to Bible college. You went to Bible college, or you studied, and you've been faithful, been a youth leader or a teenage teacher or whatever. You're faithful in the church, real good, and all of that. And then all of a sudden, the third day, you stepped on out. You bought that travel trailer. Amen. Or you bought you took that little church, or you stepped out on the mission field, and all of a sudden, you're all alone, you feel like. You're out there, and you wonder, what am I doing? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I'm going to cut it short, I know, but I got a lot, but I know you. I need a young couple here, John, Kim. They're two babies. Where you at, John and Kim? You didn't run off, did you? Come on, John and Kim. Bring old Justice and Liberty. Liberty, just think we're going to Reba Smith in Panama. Get that ice cream. Come on. I want to preach a little bit. Then I'm going to close. I know I want to use wisdom. I know we've already had a move and everything, and praise God for that. I want you to stand right here on this stage. Praise the Lord. Just stand here. 1975, the Lord called me to preach. 1976, I married my wife, Carolyn. That was March of 1976. One of the hardest things, I think, and I didn't see this in my dad or mom, they wasn't Christians, but my dad was a General Motors man all the way. He was such a union man, General Motors. It bothered him, Brother Dallas, when somebody at Harrison Radiator had a Ford or a Chrysler. He was General Motors all the way because he was loyal, Brother Head, to where he worked. He said, they signed my paycheck. Now, I'm not preaching against Ford, Chevys, or anything like that, but I'm just telling you. I hired in at General Motors in 1972. 30 years later, I'd retired 30 years and out, 20-something hundred. That was before General Motors crashed. Now, think about this. I'm 59. My dad was such a union man, but I knew I had a call. I was married, and we felt led to go to Junction Hill Pentecostal Church where Brother Floyd Parks was the pastor. You think Bill Parks is a great preacher? He is a great preacher. But I'm going to tell you the reason he's a great preacher. Stand up, Brother Floyd. Stand up, Brother Floyd. That's his dad. You won't outpray this man. This man has an excellent spirit. Praise the Lord. That's why Bill's as great as he is. He's got a great dad. So, my dad never said a word because dad knew what God did for me. Even though he wasn't saved, he knew what God did. Hardest thing was, I just couldn't break ties yet. I took a 30-day leave of absence. All I could get was 30. I tried a 6-month, but just 30 days. Went to West Plains. I'm telling you, that was a sight. I called them roads dirt alleys. They were streets. But I had the call of God on my life. I had the love of my life, my wife, and we was happy. I mean, after church, Brother Floyd, Sister Alvita would come over, popcorn and Kool-Aid. Remember that, Brother Floyd? All right, we was there, then we evangelized for 2 years, and then all of a sudden the Lord called us to go to Chelsea, First Church. This is my wife, you're Daryl and Carolyn right now, because I got to find someone little. Douglas was 2 to 3 weeks old. Shauna was 2 years old. So we took off. My wife did not even see the church. She wasn't there. She just got over having Douglas. I took that church, and she said, wherever you want to go, we'll go. Brother Floyd said, I'm glad it's you instead of me. That's some of their home area. Well, we was there. I tell you what, we took off. I got to preach to you just a little bit. Hold on just a minute. Praise the Lord. God, this is where if you want to get to that place. I almost left out this point. Abraham said, God said, go sacrifice. Abraham said, we will go worship to get to the place. What God calls sacrifice, you need to call worship. And when you can call it worship, hallelujah, I said, when you can, some folks, I've sacrificed for the ministry. I've sacrificed all of this. I'm telling you, it's been worship all through my life, praise God. Hallelujah. I said, it's been worship, praise God. Amen. Some of your children, the reason why they may be frowning upon the ministry is because the way you talk and the way you act, it's all sacrifice. If you'll turn that around and say, thank you, Lord, it's worship, praise God. It's worship. I'll tell you what it was when we left out. Amen. And that guy's driving the U-Haul. My wife driving the car. Sister Nancy Parks. Now Nancy Edenfield riding in the passenger seat. She's 12 or 13 years old. She's holding Douglas. And we're on our way. Praise God. Left a little house that was almost new. And we're on our way to Chelsea. And somebody said, is it sacrifice? No, it was worship. I said, it was worship, praise God. And so we kept marching on. Just hold on. We was there 3 years. Anybody ever become a DWIC? The Done With You Club? Anybody been in that club? I'm a member of it. Praise the Lord. Well, after 3 years, I got my walking papers. Praise the Lord. Amen. That was on a Mother's Day, Brother Bill. Amen. But I refuse. I tell you, was it sacrifice? No. I tell you what happened. I took your grandma and grandpa, amen, to Brother Ralph Cox's Mother's Day that afternoon. Got my papers that morning. That afternoon, preached a Mother's Day service. Started a revival that night. Sacrifice? No. Worship. Oh, y'all not with me here. You'd rather be in the mully grubs. You'd rather be down here saying everybody's mistreating me. I'm telling you, you don't get bitter. You get better. So, hey, man, we're walking now. My wife's expecting the third child. Amen. Well, let me get back here. We're in Chelsea, and all of a sudden, my wife has appendicitis. Hey, man, her appendix is dislocated. We end up in the hospital. They burst on her. I'm telling you, two young kids, no family. I'm telling you, you talking about trials. Amen, but it was worship. Praise the Lord. Well, we met a doctor, a young doctor named Dr. Lane. Oh, God help us here. Let me preach a while to us, just for a few more minutes. If you could get to the place called worship instead of sacrifice. I've given all of my time. I've given all of this. I've done this. I've done that. Hey, it's worship. I'm just glad to be here. I'm just glad to be called. I'm just glad to preach the gospel. Praise the Lord. So, amen. Dr. Lane, he comes and helps this young couple. We develop a friendship. And you know what? Years later, Brother Rich on the River of Life has medical missions. And Kingsport would donate a bunch. Kingsport Pharmacy donates a lot. Amen. And, but you got to have a doctor to sign off. You know who the doctor was that signed off? Was Dr. Lane. It's worship. I said it's worship. So we're marching on. We're marching on. I'm trying to get to yonder. 1982. I'm out of a church. That summer, my dad passes away. Doug's 2 years old at that time. Lost my best friend, my dad. I'm like the old black preacher now. Broke, busted, and disgusted. I mean, hey, don't say you're broke if you got some money in the bank. We were broke. But during that time, my family got acquainted with Reverend Benny Southern and Sister Janie Southern. Brother Benny preached my dad's funeral. Last year, January 15th, he preached my mother's funeral, but before her funeral, before she got hospital bedridden, but Sister Janie led her to the Lord. Is it sacrifice? It's worship. Praise the Lord. Oh, come on now. Somebody ought to say amen. Praise God. I said somebody ought to say amen. It ain't sacrifice. It's worship. I want my family to come up here. I'm not going to embarrass you. That's one thing you don't want to do, preachers, is embarrass your family. But I want Douglas, I want Shauna, and I want Carolyn to come. I'll let the in-laws sit for right now, not late. Come on, Douglas. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Come on, Shauna. Come on, Carolyn. And I'm getting ready to close this. I need you all to stand here. We're going yonder. Praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God. Come here, Douglas, over here. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Somebody say hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Brother Bill was saying, are you helping me? Man, he was helping us. Praise God. I just hope I'm helping you a little bit. Praise the Lord. Amen. All I could say is it's been worship. Amen. All of these years for me. I stand here by the grace of God. They told me when I graduated that we were the worst class that ever come out of West Carrollton High School. I'm telling you, by the grace of God, God got in my life in November of 74, saved me, turned me around, called me to preach in July of 75. Amen. We started off way back there. Amen. Just as a young couple, you all can be seated if you want to. But now we're here, saved. Amen. Pastor in a church at Westside Holdings Church, been there 28 years. Amen. Douglas, they used to tell Douglas, why do you like running around with preachers? Hey, when he's 10, 12, I took him around with preachers all the time. Hey, man, he said, because they know where all the good eating places are. Praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, but Douglas, because we didn't go on vacation, because we went to camp meetings all the time, that was our vacations. You played around in the dust and in the sand. We never knew a lot of the sights. We just went to camp meetings. Was it sacrifice?
It's worship.
What?
Worship.
What are you doing now?
Preaching.
Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Did your dad ever complain about how hard it is?
Not one time.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I kept it out of my family. I kept it out. My trials, my tests, my problems. I tell you, it wasn't sacrifice. It wasn't nothing but worship. I said it wasn't nothing but worship. I said it wasn't nothing but worship. Hallelujah. Shauna, was it sacrifice or worship?
It was worship.
Praise the Lord. What are you doing now?
Evangelizing.
Praise the Lord. Amen. My son's preaching. My daughter's married a preacher. She's evangelizing. My other daughter, youngest daughter, she married a preacher. They pastored two churches. They're in transition, helping us at our church as a choir leader and so forth. He's preaching for me tonight. Was it sacrifice?
Worship. Worship.
Oh, hallelujah. I come to tell some preacher and his wife, don't call it sacrifice. Call it worship. If you want to reach yonder, call it worship. I close with this tonight, today. Brother Marty Milliken, 42 years old in ministry. Come on up here, Jimmy. Come on up here, Cecily. Praise God. Amen. This is all my family here. Come on, Carly. We got 9 grandchildren. I'm telling you, I finally got to the place. Hallelujah. Hey, my children saved in the ministry. I thank God. You know why? It's all been worship in my life. I've just been glad to be here. I'm glad Bill and Linnea's here. They're sort of over our prison ministry. They surprised me. Young couple. Amen. I'm telling you, you go through trials. You go through setbacks. It's all about worship. Y'all get us a song. Amen. I close with this. Marty, 42 years old, give his life for the ministry all the years. Amen. They're going to sort of do an honorary deal tonight for the Millikens. Amen. I'm glad to have Jimmy in our family. He's been a blessing. Praise God. Amen. Marty, 42 years old. We had his funeral. Amen. Right before New Year's at our church. Marty was no preacher, but he was a ministry of helps. Praise God. I love what Sister Wilma and Brother Jim said, and I know they'd be here if they could. Amen. She's facing surgery next week. We'll talk about that later. But I want to tell you something. I love what she said when she come home that night after they took and buried Marty and put him in at the cemetery and left him. She said, I will not charge God about his will or divine providence. You know what she is saying? Worship, worship. She told my wife in a dream, I hope I get this right. She had a vision years ago when she was sick and she was going to heaven and she's seen a beautiful mansion and she asked the angel, whose mansion is this? And they said, it's Marty's mansion. And then another dream and they took her to the second floor and there's a beautiful golden piano. It is all about worship. I was in Panama June 6th through the 11th with Brother Rich helping in the minister seminar that Wednesday afternoon. Me and Pamito and his wife was outside and we were talking and I was talking about Marty and they pulled Marty up on the internet singing the song he wrote, Jesus is all that I need. I started crying and Pamito said, why? He's up yonder, praise God. I said, I'm crying because I can't say, Marty, come and sing down here. But I'm happy. And in closing, if Marty could say something to these ministers and the ministers' wives, he would say, it is not sacrifice. But it's worship. Sing. I know we've already had a move, but let's have one song. We don't have to come around if you don't want to, but I'm going to tell you all something. It's high time you get out of that sacrificing, mully grubbing, complaining. I don't have nothing. I don't expect this. The prisoners. We go to Vanita every first Monday and first Friday and third Friday and all, every fifth Friday. And the prisoners will say, thank you for sacrifice, for coming, bringing the gospel to us. And you know what I think? I told them, I said, it ain't no sacrifice. This is worship. Because if the Lord hadn't saved me, I could have been a drunk druggie. I could have been a drunkard. I could have been in prison. I could have been in hell myself. But I'm so happy just to be here preaching the gospel to some of the finest ministers all across this world. I come to tell you today, it's not sacrifice, it's worship. I said it's worship. Lift your hands and worship him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of you may be struggling with some things, wondering how I can go get this done. Just worship. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What a meeting. Worship them, worship with them. Bless.
Worship is a powerful thing, isn't it? Amen. When Mary broke that alabaster box, she broke it. She was not keeping anything back. It was all going to come out. Amen. And sometimes worship is more powerful when things are broken. Amen. Amen. How many found that to be true? Appreciate the word of the Lord. Appreciate God's word to us today. It's been a tremendous time in the house of the Lord today. And we just trust you'll enjoy your afternoon. Look forward to service tonight, 7 o'clock. We'll be honoring the Milliken family at first. And then we'll start our main service. Brother Tim Brim will be preaching tonight. Look forward to that. Remember Brother David Webb's announcement at 5:30 this afternoon, from 5:30 to 6:30, if you'd like to tour the new LeConte Center. It's owned by the city of Pigeon Forge here, and they spent about $50 million. And the first weekend in April, the Lord willing, we'll have rented that whole facility and about 250,000 square feet. And it'll be nothing but thousands of our holiness people. So I'd love for you to go take a look at that facility and go back and tell your people and bring them. And that's at 5:30, and it's at the corner, red light number 5 and Teaster Lane. If you're on the main drag there, red light number 5.